Right, well, we've been looking at this prophetic timetable for quite a long time, and we've been singing today a lot about destiny, about being called to our destiny and the things that God's calling us. Our destiny is to be part of two groups of people on that timetable. One is a Joshua generation, and a Joshua generation, like Joshua and Caleb, went through the wilderness with Moses and then went in to the promised land and took a whole generation of people in with them to inherit their promises and to inherit the purposes of God for their lives. The other group of people are over here, a harvest of laborers, a harvest of harvesters, in that Joshua generation is to equip a generation of laborers who are going to bring in that final harvest before Jesus returns. That harvest of laborers there, that group of people, will be the most supernatural people that have ever lived. They will have restored to them everything that Adam lost. They will have all the abilities supernaturally that Jesus had, and greater things, because Jesus said we would do greater works. But that group needs to be equipped. So this group, this Joshua generation, will also be equipping people in the realms of the supernatural to fulfill their destinies and their calls. And right now, we're in this place where God is preparing us for that, preparing people to be this harvesting generation, preparing people to be a Joshua generation to fulfill the purposes of God, so that we can go into the age to come. After Jesus is returned, we can go into the age to come to fulfill our eternal destiny. Because we've come out of eternity, and we're going to go back into eternity with a destiny. And we've been reading these scriptures. God has called everyone in this room with a destiny and a purpose and a plan. But he's given all of us a choice whether we step into that or not. Jeremiah 1:5, all of us have been appointed and separated and consecrated for a purpose. And finding that purpose, your purpose, the plan of God for your life, will be the ultimate fulfillment of your identity and who you are. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know why you're here, you don't know what you're doing, you need to find your destiny in God. Because God knew it and has written it down on a scroll and a book that you can find and read in the heavenly realms and in your heart, to know what he's called you to, what he's ordained you for, and the purposes of God for your life. And we've all got different purposes that God's got for us, but the thing that sums up that purpose is to rule, to bring heaven to earth through our lives, to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill this earth with his presence, so that the glory of God will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. That's what the scriptures say. For that to happen, there needs to be something that changes us. There needs to be an abdication of the rule of God for our lives. We need to abdicate the rule of our lives to let God be king and to rule over us. And that means transformation of our nature, and things that have happened to us in our generational lines and through our past. Nurture, things that have happened through the lives that we've lived and through trauma. Any experiential programming that's happened to us, through things that have happened in our lives, God wants to restore us to the original condition that came out of eternity, our destiny in him. Now, to do that, we've been looking in this series. First thing, building up the spirit. We need a strong spirit to be able to bring that rulership of God into our lives and through our lives. Therefore, God needs to restore and refine our soul, our mind, emotions, and wills, and different areas of our soul, bringing it back into order. Spirit, soul, body, a flow of the glory of God through us, so that we would manifest that glory here on earth and shine with the presence of God in us and through us. Now, that picture there is what we've been looking at in terms of seeing a flow from the inside out. We were talking this morning about singing about opening up our hearts and letting him in. Now, that doesn't mean that he's out there somewhere. He's actually in us, and he wants us to open up our hearts to let him into our hearts to transform us. So we let him into our spirit, because that's where he resides. We open up the first love gate. We let him come through the gates of our spirit into our soul to transform us. And we'll be looking at more about that in the future, about how to open those gates and how to deal with that. But God wants his glory to come right through us out into the world. But it's his glory. It's not our glory. It's allowing him to manifest himself. It's allowing the Father in us to do his works. We just have to be a channel of that. A couple weeks ago, we looked at how to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we practiced that last week at the end of the meeting. And all these stuff was on the website for you. And last week, we actually looked at how do you address our behavior so that we can see the things that are in our hearts, and how do we cooperate with God where situations and circumstances happen, events and reactions in our lives that we need to address, see where they're coming from, and allow God to change us. And we went through that last week. Now, we've looked at building our spirit, giving God first place, first love, praying and singing in tongues, and waiting on the Lord and being still. And there's more to look at, and I want to look at that a little bit now. And in the future, we'll look at some of those other things, meditating on the word and praying and soaking in the presence of God and different things. But I want to look at being still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Now, being still, it means you don't move. Okay? That's what being still means. It means stop doing stuff and be still. And then you can know that he's God. If you're always doing stuff, it's very difficult to know that he's God, because you're not letting him be God in your life, because you're always doing stuff. And this is the point that God wants us to surrender. Cease striving, let be and be still and know that I'm God. Stop striving to do things in our own strength. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We've got to stop doing things our way if God is going to lead us in his way. Psalm 23 says, I make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. Why? So I can restore your soul and lead you in paths of righteousness, the destiny that he's prepared for us. So it's important when you're actually looking to be still, to be physically calm, to be at rest. If your head is going round and round and round and round and round, it's very difficult to tune into the presence of God. If you're rushing around doing stuff all the time, it's very difficult to tune in. We need to focus our attention. We need to let be. And I'll explain what these things are. To be receptive to what God, who God is in us, and to have a spontaneous flow of his presence flowing through us. So the first thing, physical calm. Hebrews 4:9. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. We have to be diligent. We have to pursue it. To pursue God's rest, God's peace. And for every one of us, there's a place of rest that God wants us to find. And we have to enter into that. Because we have to rest from our works. We have to stop doing it ourselves. That's what rest is. It means after 6 days, God created the earth. No, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. He rested. And he set that as a pattern for us. Now today, we just don't get one day as Christians that we can rest. We get every day. Because our rest is in him, in our relationship with him, and our allowing him to work through us and to do the work of our destiny through us. Focus our attention, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Notice it doesn't say crowd, it says cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses are the men in white linen, that are turning up in various places around the world. You can meet with them. They're the saints of old who've gone before us, who are there cheering us on, like on the last leg of a relay. You know, the first of a 400-meter relay race, you get four people in a race. The first one runs 400 meters, and then another three. Now, I believe God is saying that we're on the last leg. The people who've gone before us, they don't just sit down or go out and pack up. They wait, cheering on the other runners to fulfill the race, to win. And all those people are waiting, looking, and they're around us, and they can see us, and they can see what we're doing. You know, there are 100 million angels over your life all the time. And they can all see what you do every minute of every day. Think about that when you do something next time. And those cloud of witnesses are also around us. Some of them are wanting to be involved in our lives to help us, because they're there to cheer us on and to encourage us. I've met three of them, Adam, Jacob, and Enoch. And I expect to meet a whole load more. So we have to realize that they're around us. And it says this, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. So anything that's holding us back, you know, if you're running a marathon race, you don't run it in a suit of armor. Not unless you're stupid. Or you're doing it for charity. They run in all sorts of things for charity. But you actually dress for the event. You dress up in shorts, good running shoes, and a vest. And usually you've got Vaseline on you to make sure you don't rub for 26 miles as you're running. You're prepared. So we have to get rid of stuff that's holding us back. You don't want to be running a marathon with a ball and chain attached to your leg. It will be really, really hard work. And God wants to set us free from the things that are holding us back so that we can run the race. With endurance that's set before us, that for each of us is our destiny. Each of us has a race to run. Each of us has a race prepared for us. Some of you, it may be your 100 meter runners, 400 meters, 800, some of you marathoners. We're all different in what we do, but we've all got a race set before us. God has prepared it for us. The question is, are we going to run it? And are we going to let God prepare us for that race, to train us and to equip us? And how do we do it? Fix our eyes on Jesus. That's how we do it. We take our eyes off all the stuff that's around us. We take our eyes off ourselves, and we fix it on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of faith. He's the one who authored our faith by dying on the cross for us to set us free and to release that destiny to us. And he will also enable us to complete the race if we keep our eyes fixed on him. And he did all that he did on the cross because of the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before him. Your lives are the joy that was set before Jesus when he faced the cross, when in the garden he looked into a cup and looked deep into that cup and saw all of our sin. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. And he took every sin, every sickness, everything onto himself on his own body on the cross and was punished by God for us. And he went through all that because he loves us and he wants us to enter into our destiny and fulfill the joy. Because he wants his joy to be in us and he wants our joy to be full and overflowing. And he did all that. And then what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, in authority, higher than every authority, and he wants to raise us up to live for him in those realms of authority too. Let him be. Let him be means, as it says in Hebrews 4:6, be anxious for nothing. How much is nothing? Nothing. So, does that mean you can be anxious for anything? No. But in everything. How much is everything? Everything. Now, those two things are all the negatives and all the positives. It says, by prayer and thanks and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We don't need to be anxious for anything at all if we're handing the control of our life over to God and trusting him to meet us, to provide for us, to give us everything we need. And it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we're willing to surrender and stop trying to do it ourselves, he will do everything we need in our lives. Everything. He will give us everything we need. But we've got to stop doing it ourselves. Receptivity. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. And that's a relationship. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. We cannot produce any fruit which is of any eternal value unless the source of that comes through the vine, Jesus. We may be a branch of that vine, but the branch does not provide the nutrients and the supply of life in itself. And if you cut the branch off, it dies. The life comes through the roots and through the plant to bring fruit. Fruit in our lives comes from the flow of being receptive to the life of God that's in us and allowing the life of God to flow through us. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, talking about the relationship, bears much fruit. So if we want to fulfill our destiny, if we want to fulfill the call of God on our lives, we need to abide. Abide in me is not just a song that's sung at the cup final. It's a relationship where we trust him, we live in him, we let him live in us, and we produce the fruit that's lined up with our destiny. We can't do anything, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And we have to accept that. Apart from our relationship with God, there's nothing we can do that can have any eternal value at all. Paul talks about having a life built with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And when fire comes, gold, silver, and precious stones survive, and wood, hay, and straw gets burnt up. Every work we do outside of God will be burnt up and have nothing in eternity, of no value whatsoever. And a spontaneous flow. Our spirit needs to flow in the life of God. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The living flow of the life of God in us, flowing out of us, to transform the world around us. God wants us to transform the world around us through his spirit and power that flows in us and through us. Now, I want to talk to you about the seat of rest. And the seat of rest is a really, really important place. The seat of rest is a place in our lives where it's like the place where the government of our lives takes place. And it's a place where it needs to be in rest. Now, when I encountered God in the heavenly realms, I had loads and loads of encounters, and I've shared a lot of them with you in different places. But the one that was most important and the one that was impressed on me was the most important was a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, where Jesus talked me through this scripture in Matthew 11:28-29. And it's like he sat me down and he talked to me about being at rest and being in the seat of rest and living from a place of rest, from a place of peace and a place of wholeness. And he gave me a revelation around this scripture and from that I can live in and that he wants all of us to live in. This is what the scripture says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. So the first part of that is being weary and being heavy laden or overburdened will stop us being at rest. And I want to ask you, what are the things that would cause you to be weary and to feel burdened? And we're going to look at them, but I want you to think about it. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Now, how many of you want to live in that? A place of refreshment, a place of recreation, a place of being blessed, equipped to prosper, but being quiet, not having to struggle, strive to achieve it, but allowing God to achieve it through us. And this is a really important principle, and we're going to take a couple of sessions to do it. Today I want to look at the reasons for being weary and heavy laden, and then in a few weeks' time, I want to look at what it is to actually sit on that seat of rest and how the government of God is outworked in our lives. So, first thing is there, take my yoke. Now, do you know what a yoke looks like? That's what a yoke looks like. It's what they put on oxen. And Jesus said, take my yoke. In other words, be joined to him. Be joined to Jesus. Be connected to him. That means Jesus sets our field. The oxen didn't choose what field they went to plow in. The person who was leading them set the field. Jesus wants to set the field of your life. Jesus sets the path and direction. The oxen didn't choose where to go and plow and what line to furrow. They didn't do it. It was determined by whoever was leading them. Jesus wants to carry the weight when we are yoked to him. He carries the weight of our burdens. He carries the weight so that we're at rest. We don't have to strive and struggle for it. But we have to learn from Jesus. That's what he said. Learn from me. So look at Jesus' life and you will learn how to live and rest. Because he modeled it. His relationship with the Father and how he operated is a model for how to live in rest. And Jesus wants to train us and disciple us in that. And it's to be gentle in heart. Now, being gentle does not mean being wishy-washy and a doormat. All right? Some people call being gentle is like I'm going to be trod on. She doesn't mean that at all. The Greek meaning for the word gentle was the meaning they had for a wild stallion that had a bit in its mouth. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to know our strength as a wild stallion, because a wild stallion has power. And God wants us to see ourselves having strength and power, but to totally surrender that strength and power only for his purposes and not our own. Second thing is to be humble in heart. Humility is not, oh, I'm a worm and I'm nobody and nothing, and I'm going to bow down before everybody and be nothing. Actually, humility is acknowledging who you are as a child of God and accepting your royal identity, accepting, like we were singing today, wake up, child, to accept who you are as a son of God and to fulfill your royal calling. And Jesus knew who he was. And he knew his identity and he knew from the word of God what he was called to do and who he was called to be. And he totally surrendered it to God. He took on the form of a servant. Even though he was the Lord of creation who created the universe, he became a servant to serve the purposes of God. He was able to say, I only do the things that I see the Father doing. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what humility is. It's accepting who you are as a child of God and living out of it. Now, look at why we can be weary and heavy laden and burdened. And I want to pose some questions for you to think about and to answer. Some of these questions are about why you may be feeling weary. And I just ask you to think about it. Am I trying to survive and cope with life myself? Or have I surrendered my life to God? Am I tired trying to provide for myself? Or is God my provider? Because if you're trying to provide for yourself, you will end up weary. Am I tired trying to protect myself? Or do I trust in God's provision and protection for me? Because he loves me, wants to keep me safe. Am I tired trying to achieve and find significance in achievements? And I want you to think about these things, because these are some of the reasons we may be tired. Tired trying to create my own self-image. Are you really caring how you are and how you appear to other people? And are you willing to wear masks to protect that image? Are you tired trying to compare myself with others? You don't need to compare yourself with anybody. You have a personal destiny that's for you, and you're unique and have been called as a unique child of God with a unique purpose. You don't need to compare yourself with anyone. You can look at people who are role models and be encouraged by them, but you do not need to look up and see anybody else. Am I tired trying to be somebody else? You need to be you. Am I tired trying to meet others' expectations? Some of you are still trying to fulfill the expectations your parents put on you as a child. Your parents weren't God. It's God's expectations that we need to fulfill. That's our destiny. Are you tired trying to wear a mask of pretense? Keeping up appearances? Trying to do that will wear you out, because we've got no strength to be able to do that in ourselves. Are you tired trying to maintain control of your life? When you can surrender control of your life to God, and He will be everything you need. Are you tired trying to cover up your inadequacies? God knows us. He knows all our faults and our weaknesses, and He loves us anyway. He loves us too much to let us stay as we are. He wants to transform us and change us, to heal us and make us whole. But if we're trying to cover up, we'll never change. We have to own where we are so that we can be transformed to where God wants us to be. Am I tired trying to be good and righteous with dead works? Trying to make things better? Dead works is a curse of the enemy. Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it shriveled up and withered. And what He was saying was, no more cover up. You can't do anything to make amends. Adam, in the garden with Eve, sewed together fig leaves to try and cover up their sin. It didn't work then. Guess what? It doesn't work now. We have to admit where we are. God loves us, and He has provided in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross everything needed for transformation. Am I tired trying to please God, others, and myself? Because it will wear me out. Am I tired trying to make amends for my past? You cannot make amends. Not saying you might want to put some things right with people and relationships, but you cannot make amends with God. Jesus has already paid the penalty and the price for sin on the cross. It's already paid for. We just have to receive it freely as a free gift of His grace, love, and mercy. Okay, why might I be heavy laden and burdened? Am I carrying things I shouldn't be? Am I carrying and being burdened by false responsibility for my family, finances, and future? Because we don't need to be responsible for those things if we're trusting in God and fulfilling our destiny. He will prepare and provide for us. Am I burdened by sin, guilt, shame, and condemnation because of the things I've done in the past? God wants to give us complete freedom from sin, shame, guilt, and any condemnation, because in Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, we are cleansed and made the righteousness of God. And we've given us robes of righteousness, which we've been cleansed from. Am I burdened by the weight of expectations that I'm carrying? Am I burdened by sorrows and griefs? Word of God says that Jesus came to carry our griefs and our sorrows. When we go through grief, when we go through loss, He is there to carry the weight of those things so we do not have to bear it on our own. There is a grieving process, but He is there for us and with us to carry the weight of those burdens, of things that we've lost. Are we burdened by disappointments? Things that happened in our past, that are still damaging our heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Are we burdened by unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is probably the heaviest weight that you can carry. Because it's something Jesus did on the cross. He's forgiven us completely and wants us to be able to forgive everybody else. Are we burdened by worry, anxiety, and fear? Because those are the things which will make us feel heavy. Are we burdened by debt? Burdened by carrying the responsibility for my own life. If you're carrying the responsibility for your own life, you will be weighed down and feel heavy. When we hand those responsibilities over to Jesus for everything, who we are, everything around us, he will provide. How do we do it? First thing, we need to be still. So that we can know who God is as our provider. The names of God are really, really important. And the compound names, the covenant names of God, there's seven or eight of them in the Old Testament, which are compounds of Jehovah. Jehovah something, and there are seven. One of them, Jehovah, is the Lord my righteousness. I don't have to be righteous. He's made me righteous. The Lord my sanctification. I don't have to struggle trying to change myself. I surrender and let him change me. The Lord my peace. The Lord my provider. The Lord my healer. The Lord my shepherd. The Lord my banner of victory. The Lord is there. They're all names that God has revealed, and he wants us to live and know him like that. That he is our provider and our healer. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Again, that little word, all. That means you do not hold any cares. You don't hold any anxieties. You don't hold any worries or any concerns. Once and for all, lay them on him. He's got big, broad shoulders that can carry everything you would like to lay on him. Every sin, lay it on him and receive forgiveness. Every anxiety, worry, concern, and care. Why can we do that? Because he cares for us. Affectionately, cares about us watchfully. He's waiting for us to give him the burdens of our lives. Our past, our present, our future. He's waiting. And then we can seek first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added. And it talks about places to live, things to wear, things to eat. Everything we actually need physically will be added to us when we seek first the kingdom. You cannot seek your own self first and seek first the kingdom. You can't keep doing it yourself in your own strength and allow God to provide for you. It's one or the other. God wants us to surrender. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. God wants to raise you up and give you a position and a place of authority and rule to fulfill your destiny and call. The question is, will we surrender and humble ourselves before him? Now, I want to finish by doing another exercise where we're going to pray these things through. Hebrews 5:14. It's because of practice, we've trained our senses to discern good and evil. We can train the senses of our spirit and our soul by stepping into the presence of God and allowing the presence of God to change us and transform us. So we can step into his presence because his presence, the kingdom of God, is as close as the hand is to my face. I can turn into it. So I encourage you, if you want to do this, don't do it just because I'm saying it. If you really want to hand all your cares, all your worries, all your burdens, and everything that's making you tired over to God this morning, then here's an opportunity to do it. You step, stand up, and find a place where you can step forward and step back, because we want to, by faith, engage our physical body with this process. And then as you do that, as you step forward into that, then we'll just pray this and read this out together. Okay? So take a step forward. It says, Father, thank you that you have made a way for me to come into your presence. By faith, I step into the realm of your presence and ask you to forgive me for doing things in my own strength. I repent of providing and protecting myself. I repent of finding significance in achievements and trying to create my own self-image. I repent of comparing myself with others. I repent of trying to be somebody else and trying to meet others' expectations. I repent of wearing masks of pretense to cover up my inadequacies. I repent of trying to be good and righteous using dead works to try and please God and others. I repent for trying to make amends for my past. I repent for trying to maintain control of life. Today, Jesus, I willfully, with desire, hand over responsibility for my life over to you. I cast all my burdens onto you and hand over responsibility for my family, finances, and future. I cast all my sin, guilt, shame, condemnation onto you. I cast all my sorrows, grief, disappointments, worry, anxiety, and fear onto you. I cast all my debts onto you. I cast all the weight of expectation onto you. I surrender control of my life to you. I choose to be yoked to you, Jesus. Train me in gentleness and humility to bring me to the place of maturity. Now, Lord, I step back into this earthly dimension, bringing your rest with me to live in the eye of the storm. I choose to live from the seat of rest. Amen. Now, I encourage you, every day, choose to hand everything over to God. It's not a once and that's it. Every day, choose to hand everything over and receive his presence. Receive what he's got for you. Because his provisions are much better than your own. God's provisions are the things that will enable us to fulfill our destiny. Amen.